So we're here with Alumet Island resident David Gillespie to talk about just sort of the ongoing power issues. David, hello, how's it going?
A little coolish this morning, but yeah, I'm doing fine.
Oh yeah, definitely a chilly one for sure, for sure. So I guess just for people that might not be familiar with your work, could you talk a little bit about Alumet or power outages on Alumet Island in general and your involvement and your tracking of them more specifically?
Sure. Well, when I moved here in 06, the first thing I noticed, I said, boy, there seems to be a few outages more than I was used to, where I used to have my dairy farms just south of Rigo, where we only had like an outage every year or two, literally. And that was on my dairy farm. And that was out in the countryside. And here I was getting one a month, but I wasn't keeping track of it. Finally, by 09, I got fed up. And I said, I got to start keeping track of this stuff, which I did. But it was only part of the year because I wasn't really set up for it. And then I decided in the end of the year 2010 to keep it track of it full time, that is year round. So I did, and then since then I've had 11 full years and 2 part time years to make 13 years of data. And there's whereby I keep track of the number of outages and the duration of each outage, and then I compile the data at the end of the year. I used to be a data editor, so I sort of know how to keep at least basic information, flow charts, which is what I did.
So could you talk a little bit about this year and how it compares to previous years? I understand from what it looks like, from what I'm seeing here, it's getting a little bit better?
Quite a bit, considering that the number of outages, let's work with number of outages per year. The record was 103 outages three years ago, back in 2019, and that was 103 outages. And now, the year following that was 47 outages, which was more than twice the improvement. And then this year was 37 outages. That is this year, 2021, which was the best of all the years. As far as full years of data for 11 years, it was the least amount of outages is 37.
That's great.
Well, the trend is in the right direction, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. But it doesn't exactly tell the entire story as well, because you also track the number of minutes or the lengths of the outages as well. So while the overall number is down, the number of minutes is around 700 or so, which is...
Yeah, which is a huge improvement from the year before, I think, around 1,600 minutes, as I recall.
Yep.
Yeah, 1,618 to 718. So that's a big improvement. And when you consider that's less than half, you would think that the number of outages was less than half. No, it went from 47 to 37, which is roughly a quarter. So in other words, the number of minutes per outage, as you can see on the data, has improved very significantly. It was only an average of 19 minutes per 19.4 minutes per outage, compared to 34 minutes per outage, over half an hour per outage the year before. And in terms of 19 minutes per outage, that's the third best that we've had since I had complete data record. So it's not just the number of minutes that is the best, but the number of minutes per outage is also the best. One of the best, I should say. So, yeah, it's all pointing in the right direction. When we have an outage, it could be either the real short ones, which is common here, or they could be real long, and they're not as long.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit about just the impacts? It's coming down, but it's still a fairly significant amount of outages, right? And
yeah.
In the peak years there back in, 2016, 2017-ish? Or it would be 2016, 2018. It's just enormous numbers as far as the length of it. Can you talk a little bit about the impacts that this has on the community?
Well, I mean, back then people were really upset because it was affecting everything from the bank to the stores to their own. Some people are on equipment that needs life support equipment, basically. And that was an issue, a serious issue for those people. It was life and death, actually. And then for others, it was an issue of running their businesses, which is really, hurtful. And then, of course, it wasn't just the impact of it, but it was the the uncertainty. You just didn't know when it was going to hit you and for how long. So people were on eggs, walking on eggs, trying to figure out, geez, you know, how reliable is it? Well, it wasn't. But now it's a lot better. Is it perfect? No. Considering, like I mentioned earlier, where I had an outage only, a couple outages per year, that was a shock to me when I moved here. So, yeah, so 37. If you were to ask me, is that acceptable? I would say, you know, to me what's acceptable would be one outage a month. I would say if we got 12 a year or one a month, that would be great. Right now it's 37 or three a month, or one almost every week. Nah, still too high, but it is better than 103, which was twice a week, every week, year-round.
Jeez. And do you have any, have you been in contact with Hydro-Québec to talk about maybe the reasons why that you're seeing such a decrease in outages and also the length of the outages as well?
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that, because in the past, the only time I got to meet Hydro was when we had meetings with my M&A with them, or the UPA, or one time with the council, the MRC warden back then, and with the mayors, certain mayors, I should say, and M&A and the UPA again. So aside from that, I was not able to reach them. They wouldn't want to talk to me. But now things have changed since they had another person there, whereby, in fact, this person has reached out to me. And that is great. That shows to me collaboration and cooperation. It doesn't mean it solves the problem, but the mere fact that they're reaching out to me shows me that they value, the community, the people within the community, which is, to me, a huge change in attitude.
Mm, for sure.
And I think that reflects, not that they themselves, like I said, can change it, but it certainly helps in the communication of it, whereby some of the people at their central station might not even heard of the Upper Pontiac, let alone the Pontiac. Are probably more sensitized to it, and maybe it may change their priorities as to what needs to be done. But you need to talk to them about that. I'm only assuming at this point.
Yeah, for sure. So they didn't mention anything to you about causes or reasons
why? Oh,
yeah.
Well, I mean, sure. They said, the individual I'm dealing with now has told me that a lot of it had to do with, branches on the lines. In other words, the maintenance issues. That was the big one. And of course, the things that they have no control, like storms. So, people might say, well, we only had 37 because there were less storms. As you can see in the data, I noted when there was, storms. And in fact, we did have a lot of storms. They may not have been as bad as they was in 13 and the year 2013 and the year 2011, but because those were microbursts. Well, that, of course, knocked power for several days. And it wasn't just, it was the whole region here. But we didn't get those, but we did get a lot of short storm outbursts. I even had an FO tornado within 5 kilometers of my place. So, we do get those, and quite frequently. So, in fact, just this week, 2 days ago, we had a really strong windstorm suddenly, meaning a cold front coming in, and I expected, with these winds that we were getting, it was blowing like crazy. I figured we'd get an outage, and we didn't. I was surprised.
And you also listed Hydro One as one of the causes here in your data. Can you explain what that means?
Well, that's interesting. Again, because on this island, there are two grids. There's two lines that go through it. Mm-hmm. One is the village and its surrounding and the waterfront along from there.
That would be Chapeau?
Chapeau coming from Chichester. And the other one, Chichester. And the other one serves three-quarters of the island, which is, I think, called 221 grid. That's the one I'm on, and it serves, three-quarters of the island.
Okay.
The whole rural area. And that's the one I keep track of. But the thing is, it's complicated because the dam at near Waltham feeds it through Ontario and to us back to us. So usually they have a system there where they if there's an outage there, they can incorporate part of their grid with Hydro One. But for some reason, something went wrong there, and it was because of Hydro One issues that caused it. To where, like, when we say, if you catch a cold, I get pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happened. Why that happened, I can't tell you, but it was the cause. It had nothing to do with Hydro-Québec. It had nothing to do with Waltham Dam itself. It had to do with their power sharing with Hydro One.
And I believe they also share with, what is it, the city of Pembroke as well?
Well, Pembroke Electric,
yeah,
which is now changed to Elugen or something like that. I forgot the name. But anyways, it's that's what makes it complicated, is all these
different organizations.
You'd think by integrating it would make it better. Well, not necessarily.
And another thing I wanted to note there was that it seems like there was a... You had this year in particular was pretty good for outages earlier in the year, but they kind of picked up a little bit,
yeah,
I'd say, in the end of the year. Is there any explanation?
Well, as you can see by the data, there was, I would say, half of them was from windstorms, okay, in November in particular. But there were other times I didn't know why. And again, it had something to do with the integration of the system. I called a person from Hydro at one point. I said, geez, there seems to be, and in fact, as you can see, there were more in November and December on a monthly basis than there were on the normal for that time of year. And so that's why I called. And they said, in fact, yes, some of them confirmed it was the storms, and other times, unknown. It had to do with probably Waltham at that point, but you need to talk to Hydro about that. Mm-hmm. But yes, there were more than normal for November, December. So far in this January, so far not one. Knock on wood. If you notice, too, is that the number of months with no outages, there were 4 months last year, that's a record. That's good news. There were 2 months in a row and two other months with no outages this past year, which is kind of nice. I think it was January and February. There was another year it was the same in 2018, but then there was no outages in April, and another one in August, which is surprising because August you can get some pretty bad ones there.
So I guess cautious optimism going forward here.
Absolutely. And, let's hope that it continues and hope that the, you know, because it's absolutely essential for people moving here. They really need a proper infrastructure, and that's a big part of it. It's not the only part, because there's also telecommunication.
And so just changing gears here, too, I understand you also track outages on the landlines, like the telephone lines there as well. That's more recent project you've taken up there. So can we talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, again, part of the infrastructure. That has been an ongoing problem for me with the landline, because we don't have cell phone service where I am. I have to rely on the landline, and it was bad from the beginning, but it got really bad in the last few years to the point where I had no service at all. And it was because the line was never buried properly. You could even see it sticking out of the road, and I'm not kidding you. By the side of the road, it was sticking out where the snowplow finally ripped it right out, along with the road grader a few times, you know, because it's a dirt road. And so at that point, I got frustrated last year and the year before, and they were supposed to replace it, and they never did. That was their line technician that told me that, and they didn't. So I decided to keep track of the data since January 1st, and it was, you know, if you look, there was over a two-and-a-half-month period from mid-January into March, two-and-a-half-month, I had 15 outages on the landline itself. Forget about trying to reach out to a cell phone. I didn't bother with that data because I didn't know if it was due to the landline or the cell phone. I didn't keep track of those. So it was that, and to the point where they had to replace the line, and they went overhead because it wasn't working. And then it got a lot better. But it's not just myself. There are plenty of other areas here. I had sent photos to your station showing the posts, their pedestals?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah, and there were some with wires exposed and bags over them. The bright orange bags are supposed to be a temporary cover, and the bags eventually completely disintegrated. So that tells you how much about maintenance there. So 60% out of the 25 outages occurred within 2.5 months. After they replaced my line, it got better, but there's problems with their main station and substation distribution of the lines. That's a problem as well, and that affects the whole island.
But your line in particular, what road or what region does that primarily affect?
if it's substation, it's different parts of the island. If it's the main station, it could be the whole island with no phone.
Okay.
And that has happened more than once, or even didn't have 911 for the whole island. And that's really serious. So, I'm assuming they're going to, from what I'm hearing, they're going to replace the whole line system with copper to, I don't know, what something to do with fiber systems, maybe not fiber optics, but that. The one good news I can say is that internet here, I had no choice. I had to go with satellite service, and now it looks like they're around here. They're setting up fiber optics on the top of the poles and not burying them, thank God. And with that, we're hoping by the end of this year, in 2022, that we will have fiber optics, which would be great. Now, there's one last thing that we need. That is cell service. It's really poor here. And the reason I say it's important is that if I'm out in the field, and, for instance, I get injured, well, I guess I'm going to stay there till they find my body. Or I could, if I had a phone service with me or a cell phone, I could hopefully reach out. It could be broken equipment or if a tractor of mine catches fire. I'd have to run to the house by that time. The equipment would be done. So it's a matter of safety.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's not just for farmers. I mean, it could be for anybody. If there's a road accident, if you don't have cell service, well, you hope that somebody will run to a house somewhere and call 911. So so I would say after we deal with the landline issue, that you can fix that and the fiber optics. If we have that, then the last thing, but it's very important, is cell service.
But we're moving towards there slowly, it seems? Or?
Yeah, otherwise I often kid at people at meetings. I say the way we communicate it here is through smoke signals. That's maybe a way that will be on the way out, because it basically got down to that.
Oh, geez,
so
yeah.
Hopefully one day we'll be able to get that. But if you want to bring people in the Pontiac, especially in this area, it's a problem. You need to have that infrastructure, the various things we discussed this morning. Otherwise, they won't move here.
Absolutely.